Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I wanted to do a quick intro because this one kind of drops you into a conversation in the middle. So Sam came in and we normally chat and catch up, and we started to hit record because I think this was a really great conversation that led to a bigger conversation, as always. So the context before you go in is that she has been dating someone. She's very, very happy. But through that experience, one thing that she realized was really how badly social media like warped what she even thought she was supposed to be looking for in a relationship. And that actually cracked open a bigger conversation about something that we both read this week, basically about how much of your feed on social media is fake and paid for by bots and clippings, it's called. So we're going to unpack this Vulture article we read. And per usual, we have lots of questions, not always a ton of answers, but I'm going to drop you right in. I feel weird today also because I just had like a very intense therapy session where I was like holding my inner child.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just like dove right in talking about my shit. Oh my God.
I was saying that as context of if I like seem loopy. No, I'm fine. Okay. I want to hear what you were saying.
Something that I have been extremely cognizant of in the last little bit as I've started to date someone seriously is how bad social media content has warped what I thought I was supposed to be looking for and how a relationship was supposed to be. And now that I feel like I have found something that is very grounded and very healthy, and we are focused more on like being equitable and fair to each other, all of the content on social media is a nightmare for trying to think that you are going to build a healthy connection, pulling advice from that cesspool.
Yeah. Can you give me examples of like what you're seeing and what feels like different?
First of all, when you're like, when you're in the talking stage with anybody, right? Like if you're just on the apps and you're talking to a bunch of people, I felt like all of the content that I was getting was three signs he's about to ghost you. Three main signs he's not attracted to you.
Wait, can we just pause on that? Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Oh.
All the time. This is what it means when he does this. This is what it looks like when he does that. If he's about to do this, watch out. You're getting ghosted.
I just need to pause for a second because it's like, it's incredible. I mean, number one, I think it is so like meta that we have to be like, what's your algorithm like? You know what I mean? Like we have to like trade our little weird universes with each other sort of because I obviously don't get served any of that content. But it's fascinating to me because I know it from like the motherhood angle.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating to me as I'm hearing you say it that it seems like every single person's, we'll just start with woman. I feel like men's are a different thing, but it is fascinating how the algorithm finds all the things that you're messed up about and all of your biggest insecurities and just preys on them in your specific package.
And that is how I have felt now that I have found someone who is such like a deeply good person and has been so open and honest and just wonderful from the beginning. And I found like when I realized I was thinking I had found something that like might really work, I realized like the content on social media was fucking with my head so hard. I had to like, I had to completely renovate my algorithm. I was typing in like sea otters.
I need to do
and
that.
Orcas and muffins and cookies and like Pride and Prejudice. Like I realized even reading some of like the stories or watching like some of the stories that people would share, these horror stories. And then the top comment on every video was like, are we all living the same life? Love is dead. Nobody's interested in anybody anymore. Like, that's not possible. If he's being nice to you, that's just because he's priming you to ghost you. And I had to be like, I am not going to be able to adequately explore what this could be if I am listening to any of this. There's even like a common thread of like, oh, he gave you a forehead kiss. That's the ghosting forehead kiss. When they get to the forehead kiss stage, that means they're about to ghost you.
This is insane.
It's honestly like, it's made me angry. Mm-hmm. How like, if I hadn't been in a good headspace trying really hard to do my own work, mm-hmm. as I showed up in this dating world and was really practicing like awareness of my anxieties, because I didn't want to make that, you know, like his problem or anything. Like I wanted to be coming at this from like as grounded a place as I could, as intentional as I could. That, listening to that all day, do you know how easy that would have been for me to sabotage something, to be like, oh, he did that. I'm going to get ahead of it and I'm just going to end this before it even starts.
Totally. Totally.
And in my mind, now that like him and I are very happy and moving forward with things, I've started to realize like how many people are ending things with seeing someone or avoiding conversations around someone simply because they are being drowned in this content that tells you all of the ways that you should be hyper fixated and hyper aware of why someone doesn't like you, why someone doesn't want you, why someone's about to cause you harm in some way. 3 signs he's probably cheating. 3 signs you're just one on the roster. 5 signs he doesn't want this. Like, it is, Amanda, it was constant. Even while I was just like still on the apps and kind of like talking to random people, it was constant, my algorithm.
I mean, what is fascinating and horrible about this too is it is like this self-fulfilling prophecy that happens, yes, with this. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a different version of motherhood that this happens with, because you're not gonna hopefully abandon your child if you feel like a bad mom, or you feel like your baby is struggling or your kids are struggling. But I just think it's fascinating. And we talk about the problems with men a lot on this podcast, so this is by no means us saying like, you all are overreacting and everything's fine out there on the dating pool. Like, there are serious problems. And I think, yes, what you're saying is there is this whole other problem where we're like hyper fixated on potential problems. And it's almost like more insidious, because this stuff used to be something, you know, like as a therapist, you talk to people about how are your past relationships projecting into your future ones. I've definitely had conversations with clients of like, are you basically kind of being too critical? Are you afraid, you know, to be vulnerable because of things that have happened to you? But the fact that that's not even like past experience that's clouding people's judgment, and it's just random shit on the internet that is designed to make you feel bad, makes me furious, especially, which we were going to get into, this whole like article came out on Vulture this week that was like dynamite reporting about clippings. So is that the thread you're starting to connect to also, Sam?
Yeah. Yes. Because I had seen Sammy Sage's post. I hadn't watched the whole thing because I got distracted because I was looking at it in between sessions. So I wasn't able to dive in. But then when you resent it to me and you were like, we need to talk about this, I locked in and I watched the whole thing. And I was like, it brought up all of, yes, this for me. And I started realizing, like, what is real? Like, what are we – are people even talking about anything at all ever? We're just assuming that they are because we're getting flooded with content?
Well, let's pause so that if you haven't read the article, people understand what we're talking about. So essentially, there was an article on Vulture. Let me pull up the exact name of it, and we will obviously link it in the show notes as well. So the article is called "The Feed is Fake, That Viral Song, Movie, Meme, Influencer, and Celebrity Drama Was Probably the Product of a Stealth Marketing Campaign." So I didn't really understand understand this before, but essentially what this article says is that there are these companies, one of them is called Floodify, there are others, where literally they operate either like fake social media accounts, these are the ones that like own bots to create hype, but even worse, they clip small sections of whether it's podcasts, clips, music festival clips, an advertisement for something, an advertisement for Apple TV, whatever. There are these companies that pay another company to clip farm. So if I hopefully I'm explaining this correctly. Essentially, let's say I am a company and I want my, you know, TV show to do really well. I can go to one of these companies and I can pay someone to, they're like contractors, like working for Uber Eats, essentially. And these people pick up gigs and they will clip a piece of content as many times as they can. Sometimes, like this gets into politics too. Sometimes opposing positions. This person doesn't have an opinion about this, but they're trying to flood the internet with as many of these clips as possible, all at the same time, to have it all pop up on your feed and make it seem like everyone's talking about this when really these people are paid. And obviously most of this is sinister, but the people who are pro and for it are like, well, you know, especially with a band or something, I guess this started with, people are like, well, everyone does it, so everyone has to do it. And what you're really just paying for is for your music to be out there. If it's not good, then people won't like it. But the sinister side is nothing is really true anymore, because most of what we're being suggested to on the internet is potentially by someone who is a bot, basically, or just trying to make money off of clipping things a bunch of different ways and pretending they have a strong opinion about it to get views.
I just feel a lot of ways about this whole thing, especially, and I think you and I speak to this uniquely as content creators already. And I think what is hard is true organic content has been crushed in order to make room for this flooding of the zone. Like a lot of these very controversial, rage-baity, anxiety-producing posts that are all about competing for your attention. That's it. It's just like competing for eyeballs and creating a narrative. But then what this ties into is I feel like a lot of the content creators, like if we're just going to hone in on either like mom influencing or dating influencing, right?
So weird that dating influencing is the thing.
It's so gross. It's awful. So I believe that a lot of those accounts and creators are people like you and I. And they are in extremely emotionally charged niches, right? Honestly, it doesn't even get, like, I don't even think dating, like, the anxiety of dating is maybe the only thing that comes close to the anxiety of being a mom, I think. And the ways that you can play on those fears are endless.
Yeah, because it's both women selling them that they're not good enough and making them question themselves.
Exactly. And I see the impacts of the mom influencing all the time on my clients who are new moms or young moms. And it makes me furious, the things that are being peddled to these women and the concerns that they're being told that they have to have. And if they don't think this way, then they're not, you know, like they're not a real mom and blah, 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 blah. It's just like, it makes me so angry. But with the dating thing, where I'm going with too is like, I believe these are people that believe they're sharing their experience. But the problem is like every bit of content in order to gain traction has to have a sprinkle of catastrophizing to it. And some people have stopped even worrying about a sprinkle, and it's a full-on tsunami of anxiety in order to get people to engage so that they can continue to get attention and that they can continue to grow and get yeeted out into, you know, the internet by the algorithm.
Well, it also makes me, though, think about, I mean, this isn't even touching, the end of the article loosely touched on AI, which we can get to, but it does make me, though, think, like, I think there are a lot of people who are real, authentic content creators, but this really made me be like, I don't know. I think some people are not, especially, like, the meme accounts and just, I don't know, when you just see something on your feed and you don't click and see what the person is doing or who they are or, right, like what was so gross about the article is like some of these people like develop sort of accounts and look like real authentic influencers and they are working for these companies. And they are like, it's like instead of an influencer being paid by Dove soap to talk about how good the Dove body soap is, it is like they are – Dove is telling them to clip or use other content to talk about Dove in a like rage baity way, positive or negative. I'm not saying that Dove does this, but and it is like advertising for Dove now that like they talked about the good American jeans with Sydney Sweeney. And they think that was done with like clippings
or American Eagle.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
some influencers were paid to have hot takes around it. And some of them did both. They like were for it and against it, or they have, remember, they can have tons of different accounts. So a lot of these people, they may look like an influencer or whatever, because you look at their profile and you're like, oh, that's a consistent feed. They all are liberal, let's say, right? And then, another account that is super conservative, and they're playing both sides to get the money on both ends, because these people just get paid for number of views. It looks like you get like $1 for 1,000 views. So they're desperate to do anything. So people who look like real influencers could be getting paid to just have hot takes that they don't even believe in for views. And it's essentially like what was really interesting about the article, too, is it is against like FTC regulations, because you're not disclosing basically that you're being paid, that this is essentially an ad. But it is so impossible to track. Most of these people have thousands of accounts. And then they also have bots. They'll have like bots that work for their accounts, too, that they pay to be able to get the bots to like and engage with the post to then make it go viral. So it just makes you question, like, even someone who seems like an influencer or is one, they could be engaging in some of this stuff too, or they could have other accounts that are doing it. And the way this article set it up was like, it is so common. It is like in a soccer game, if everyone's paying the referee, you have to pay the referee to keep playing. Yeah. Like, record companies do this for like their roster. Like, it's not even like specific people always doing it. And this is what was so interesting too, because I think what really tipped this article off was, if anyone paid attention to Coachella and saw tons of clips from Coachella, I loved like watching Sabrina Carpenter set and stuff like that. And Justin Bieber set, for example, went really viral. And I know that people were talking about how he like, I mean, a lot of his old songs like started trending. That's how viral his set went. And if you paid attention to his set, like he was live streaming it. He like wasn't doing a good job in general. I have to say, I've been to a Justin Bieber concert. Like I went in like 2022, I think. And he was the most low energy performer I think I've ever seen. Like,
I've
he
heard
did
that.
Not care. He was so bored. He doesn't dance. He just has dancers come out. Like, he was so disconnected. And then he ended up canceling the rest of that tour. But the whole point of why I'm saying that is this was they found out that this was completely engineered. And I don't know whether it was, like, Justin Bieber was listed on the website as one of the people that was one of their clients. So it is, you know, hopefully no one's going to sue us, but it is a pretty straight line from that. But it's like these people will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for all these clippings, because then they get their money back by their streaming catalogs, by eyeballs on them, by like Rhodes stuff went viral afterwards. Like, it is this whole media ecosystem that is created. And it's just wild, because we're sitting around arguing whether, you know, then we're like reacting to it in some ways, because I remember seeing influencers I liked kind of talking about how Justin Bieber was problematic because of this, or like, you know, look how low effort he is. Like, then we engage with it and we keep it going. And you could be engaging with something that you think is authentic that was created basically by bots.
What I have a really hard time with is I think there are a lot of people that are trying to say the problems that we are facing socially right now in a lot of different directions can't all possibly be tied to social media. Right. A lot of people are like, no, it's larger than that. It's because of this. It's because of that. It's because of societal expectations. It's because of politics. It's because of da, 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 da. And I think if I boil down to just my life mm-hmm. and the experience that I lived in the last 6 months of being really engaged with dating, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right, and finding a very happy outcome mm-hmm. from that, thankfully, I feel very lucky for that. But having been in that world and seeing how the algorithm just magically knew what I was terrified of and what was overwhelming me and the things I was scared of, and that I was magically served up content that validated all of that, that means anybody else who happens to be dating and is on social media is being fed the same thing. And it just makes me wonder, is the dating game so bad right now? Because a large portion can be attributed to the level of anxious content that is being spilled out everywhere all the time, telling you that they don't like you, they're not doing this, you know, these like relatable posts of like being ghosted or finding out somebody doesn't like you or finding out someone's cheating on you or like, it just feels like when you are in it, like it is the most hopeless endeavor you could ever embark on. And I'm not saying it's not hard, right? It is very hard. It's hard to put yourself out there. It's hard to get rejected. It's hard to have things like think that they're going one way and then you find out they're going another. Like all of that is hard. And there are some categorically like horrific experiences that people have. But I guess what I'm starting to think of now and hearing this whole like bot thing and this creation of our algorithms, essentially, and the information that we're fed and the opinions that we're encouraged to engage with, right? It feels like it's all connected. And like, how can you not be impacted when you are being fed all of this with a fire hose every day? When all you hear about are the worst stories of every situation, and then there's a million comments of everybody saying they did the same thing, the same thing happened to them, or, you know, this is a bad thing. Did you, the thing you didn't know about this one thing, like, here's what you need to know if you are about to do this. And here, even like some of the dating coaches that I could tell they're like attempting to give half decent advice. But even then, it doesn't, it's not helpful. And then that swings me back to like myself as a content creator. And it's made it hard the last little bit for me to create content because I'm kind of like, I don't know what to say that hasn't already been said 50 million ways to Sunday, but then also like, am I contributing to the problem? I don't have like a clear cut answer, but I'm just like, we are all so anxious because every single day for multiple hours a day, we are engaging with a thing that is designed to keep us anxious so that we look for solutions that we can buy and make other people rich with.
100%.
Like we're literally, for hours a day, we are engaged with a system that is solely designed to keep you on it. And the ways to keep you on it are rage and anxiety because you keep scrolling looking for some type of an absolution. You're looking for the right take. You're looking for the right opinion. You're looking for the right product. And then we wonder why the real life relationships in our life are not coming together, or we're sabotaging them, or they're not working, because we are constantly anxious and hypervigilant.
And then I think the other side of it too that feeds into the cycle, right, is I was thinking about everything with you on dating, and then you look at people who, like, you look at the content that men are being served, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't know, things you should be looking for in a wife, like red pill content, the way that people get slowly radicalized mm-hmm. and over that, like, it just creates such a huge divide because women are fed the narrative that men are assholes and men are fed the narrative that the world is against them. So then they act like assholes more, which then makes more of these stories come up. And then it feeds into more of that narrative that, you know, feminism ruined everything.
Right. Well, and also even me, someone as who identifies as extremely liberal and progressive, right? I still was getting the trad wife mm-hmm. content of like, be in your feminine energy and you can't find a man because you're not being feminine enough. And if your man isn't providing 100% for you, he's not a real man. And he needs to be buying this and he needs to do that. And you never do this. You need to turn off your brain. You need to find a man that helps you turn off your brain. The amount of posts that I saw telling me that.
Why would anyone want to turn off their fucking brain?
No.
I don't want to turn off brain and be led somewhere.
Like, in No. I don't want to be led anywhere. We can walk together because we're grown adults.
What's going to happen when you have a kid and your brain is turned off?
It's so stupid. Or like, you know, the other posts that I've seen of like, this is how my man has to treat me when I'm with him because he takes care of everything.
There you go. That's the
princess treatment. And then there's a guy, like, it'll be a girl, like, it'll be the back of her head, like, walking around, and he has to grab her head and stop her from walking into things.
Ew.
I've seen multiple posts like that from multiple.
Well, yeah, and then the creators. Men are fed like, look how dumb these women are. They need protection. Yeah. We need to take care of them. You need to be in your masculine. You know, if you're feeling any of this type of way, it's bad. Blah blah blah. But I do think they also talked about how this is a huge part of politics right now, where it's basically propaganda machine. With all of these accounts, as we're talking about, I mean, there was a whole thing in the article where they talked basically about how there was a bunch of like hate campaigns sort of against Mamdani. Like they paid fake influencers to have negative takes about him. There's like anti-Kamala Harris rhetoric. I mean, when you start looking into also like the politics is even more sinister because it like filters all the way down. If you think about EV Magazine and like the actual there are back end things of and some of it is in good faith. Like, I think that's what's really hard, too, is like media is crumbling. I was like scrolling and I'm like watching people who I like and I respect. And I know people who like used to work at Glamour magazine. They used to work at The Atlantic. Like they used to work at all these places and they are like on my feed fighting for their lives also. And it's just like this is terrible. Like these people were meant to be employed like. How, and we've talked about this, like we're scrolling on Substack and I'm like, how is our little Substack supposed to be competing with like the New York Magazine? Like magazines are coming over to Substack and running things off of there. It is just like, what is happening?
Well, but here's something really fascinating that I've learned from the man who I'm with. He is a huge sports fan. And
God bless.
I know. I'm actually really proud of myself. I don't mind it at all. And he's been very nice. He's been very thoughtful about like watching it. And he asked like, are you okay with this? And it's fine. And anyway, the reason I brought that up is because he was telling me. So if there's like a 7-game series on. He said there's a strong chance that because of all of the different licensing agreements. Each game will be on a different streaming service every night.
Oh.
So he's like, you literally could be running like $500 a month to be getting all of the streaming services that you need to watch the games that you want to watch.
Wow.
So this ties into like the subscription service world of it all. Which everybody feels they need to feed into, right? And everything is a charge now.
Yes. I just read this insane article on The Atlantic about how like this youth, and it was actually written by a senator from Connecticut who is wonderful. And he was talking about how the youth hockey league that his kids play in it is owned by VC now. It is this big travel league.
Oh, I saw that.
And it's crazy. They record all the games and they ban anyone from taking video of the games. And then they charge parents to have access to videos of their kids playing. And because it's a travel game, a lot of them are traveling up and down the East Coast because it's all ranked. It's no longer like localized. It is so travel that it is like whole East Coast ranked, where every season the kids get like reshuffled because it's all based on like a point system of like 100 kids all ranked and then split up into teams. So there's like no camaraderie anymore because these kids are reshuffled every year. You have no idea where you're going to play because it's the whole, you know, up and down the East Coast. You can't go to a lot of games necessarily, or at least like your parent, you know, people who, you know, grandparents, aunts and uncles, people who used to come to the games don't. And then they charge you to have access to the games if you want to watch them.
Like, what do we do? Like, I think sometimes when I start to hear all these problems, I'm like, what do we do?
Do you watch SNL? I feel like you don't.
Sometimes I'll watch the clips. I don't watch
There's a new guy is doing Tucker Carlson on it. Oh, and he's so funny. He goes, what are we doing? What's going on?
So you're saying.
And that's how I feel as you're saying.
You're saying that. I just sounded like Tucker Carlson. That it is really frightening.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? Donald Trump.
What are we doing here?
Donald Trump. What are we doing?
Yeah,
exactly.
What's going on?
What's been really scary to me is I've seen a few clips of Tucker Carlson against my will, and the Venn diagram is starting to overlap, and I'm like, I don't want to be in this timeline anymore.
I know.
I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to overlap with Tucker Carlson, but it is what it is.
It's a circle.
It's a circle. And I didn't want him to have a circle with me. But no, it's just, like, because, okay, thinking of Substack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody deserves to be paid for their work, right? And it is up to the individual to decide whether or not they want to give a creator their money, right? The option is there. The free options are always there. I think, like, I have no problem with people making money. I think I want to come out with that, too. Like, I have no problem with that.
Especially, like, journalists. Yes. Like, people deserve. Yes. Like, people. These people deserve to be paid for their work. It's why I paid $4 for the Vulture article.
1,000%.
It's good reporting.
It's good reporting. And we want to be supportive of that. 1,000%. Yeah. What I am feeling really overwhelmed by is the way private equity has been allowed to weave its way into every single facet of our life. And the problem with private equity is their sole focus is figuring out how to come in and cut every cost imaginable to maximize profit. If someone tells you that they are an analyst within private equity, their sole job is to figure out how to cut corners. Mm-hmm. It's not that deep. They try to act all the time like they are reinventing the wheel and that they are taking all of these companies to the next level. No, you are simply deciding how you can destroy something to maximize its profit.
Yep. But it's everything is so shitty
that
you basically don't have an option anymore, because there is just such a collective shittiness that we all just agree, except for people who are super, super, super well off, and then they can opt into a premium option, but everything else is shittier.
Well, and this is the K-shaped economy.
Yeah, in shittification.
Yeah. But do you know what a K-shaped economy is?
I do, but you should tell
everyone. So a K-shaped economy is when you have it's not good. It's when you have some type of disruption to the economy at large. And what ends up happening is you have like a split off point between people that were already well off and or stable prior to the event versus the people that were kind of like on the edge. They were probably stable before the event, but they were like treading that line of like, if anything goes wrong, everything goes wrong kind of thing.
Yep.
And so what happens is when the economy rebounds and the people that were already doing well overly benefit from stocks, assets, investments, all of that, because they already had those things. The people at the bottom that didn't have those things and weren't able to keep pace with inflation, they continue to slide into financial insecurity. And
the disappearing middle class.
And so right now we are smack dab in the middle of what it is looking like very strongly is a K-shaped economy. And so the people at the top.
I thought we had been in one for a while. It's way worse.
It's getting,
it hadn't been
fully It's getting declared. Way worse. It's getting way worse. Yeah. Which is, and it's not a recession either, which is also the other thing that makes it worse. a recession is like everybody is not doing well. The K-shaped economy is it basically becomes the people at the top are the only ones that have discretionary income to continue to invest, to continue to...
And they're spending and more, they're spending more. Like, right? Yeah.
And so it's dark days. And I don't know. It's like, what do you do when like everything needs to be overhauled? But then it's like with like the social media discussion, when you find that out, it's like, okay, just get off of it. Right. And that helped me when I completely disengaged. And I said to myself, like, I think I've found something really good and I want to focus on that. Like, I want to be in reality with that. I want to be the only one that I am consulting on how I feel about this. And or people that I trust and know to check me or like bounce things off of, right? Like, I don't need to be turning to strangers for something this intimate.
Well, I just saw a terrible report also that 1 in 5 Gen Z, Gen Zers, I guess, 1 in 5 Gen Zers have no close friends.
What?
That's what they say. Mm-hmm.
20% self-reported they have no close friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So this is the problem, right? Increasingly turning – it's a self-fulfilling, self-enforcing loop where then people feel like they have no friends, right? Okay, let's take this soccer –
yeah.
Or not soccer. This NFL hockey example, right? Like these friendships that would have been forged through being on the same hockey team year after year now disappear. The parents, because it's spread out up and down the East Coast, are not creating the same connection. It's not connected to the community at all. These people have less friends. They turn to social media more because they're lonely, chat bots, other things. It makes them feel worse. They become more isolated, and it's bad.
So I work from home full time, and something that I am always on the hunt for are comfy clothes that I can wear while sitting all day in my house, but looking professional and put together. And I have found an answer, and I want to share this answer with you, which is the Bamboo Jogger Set from Cozy Earth. Now these, you've heard me talk about Cozy Earth a million times and how comfortable their sheets and pajamas are. But when I tell you their clothing is made from the same exact material as the sheets and the pajamas, I'm being honest. It is made from the viscose from bamboo, which is what all of their products are made from. And these are the softest, most comfortable joggers and jogger top that I've ever worn in my life, honestly. They are the perfect answer to when I just need to throw something on, getting started for the workday, feeling put together while also feeling comfortable. And because they're so lightweight and breathable, I find in this transitional time of year that we're in terms of seasons, it's like the perfect balance. Like it helps you stay warm when it's a little chilly outside, but it's also really cool when it warms up as the day goes on. So the incredible thing about Cozy Earth that I always remind people is that there's two things. One, you get a 100-night trial with any product that you buy. Any product that you buy, you get 100 nights to return it if you're not happy with it. And then the second thing is any product that you get also has a 10-year warranty. So if anything goes wrong, anything happens to it, you can let them know. And there is a 10-year warranty on that product. So I would love to give you a gift, okay, for the month of May. If you go to CozyEarth.com and you check out and you use code NUANCE, N-U-A-N-C-E at checkout, you will get 20% off your entire order, okay? Go to CozyEarth.com, use code NUANCE, N-U-A-N-C-E, for 20% off your entire order. Can't wait to hear what you think. I think you have to know the reality of something in order to know how you want to respond to it. Yeah. And I think for me, when I started to make that connection of like, wow, this social media shit is like fucking with my head. Like it's making me anxious about things that I'm chasing ghosts. Like it's not real. And the second I stepped away and kind of allowed myself to be a person in the world who was getting to know somebody, right? Mm-hmm. It just, I felt myself like regulating or like able to regulate, because if I was feeling more anxious, I was like, oh, like, that's on me to manage right now. I need to go do something different. I need to, like, chill out. I need to talk to somebody that I know, right? Like, I need to use actual skills to help me navigate this.
Yep.
And if I had been in all of my, any moment that I had been anxious or overthinking or, like, insecure, if I had gone to social media, the only content I would have seen would have been invalidation of those things. Mm-hmm. And I would have just left feeling more shitty.
Or, like, right, I think a lot of the stuff on social media too is, like, when you know, like, the, like, it should feel easy. You shouldn't have any, right? Yeah. And these oversimplified ideas don't actually apply in the real world.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. They sound great in theory, but it doesn't, like, I don't know. I just, like, I felt sad for everybody. I think, like, when I made that connection, I was just like, we're in the most vulnerable space in our lives, like, trying to find somebody that could be, like, a long-term partner. And we're just being fed, like, this incessant stream of, like, here's all the reasons why you're not enough. Mm-hmm. Here's why this isn't going to work this time.
But it's worse, I think, even than that, Sam, because it is phrased as being helpful.
Yes.
It's not just straight. If you saw an if you see an influencer being a trad wife, maybe, right? Or saying, like, you're not enough of a woman if you're doing this, I think that's easier to catch sometimes, similar to, like, mom content. Right. I think the, like, vein of helpfulness of five signs you don't even realize you're driving him away, or five signs, like, your baby isn't connecting with you, or whatever it is, right? It is phrased as being helpful, which is why you don't immediately scroll away either, because you're like, this person's trying to give me some good advice. And one out of every 100
is helpful.
Is helpful. Right. And that's what's really hard, too.
I don't know. It's just,
this is the problem with, like it. Obviously, the chronological feed went away in 2016. But then at least we then would see people who we followed. Yes. This is the problem with suggested content that has destroyed things so badly.
Yes. Because you're getting suggested things that actually deep down, like, you're not even that interested in. It just assumes.
Or you are, but in a different way. Right. Like, I remember in early TikTok, I think I was, like, interviewed or I was talking to someone and I was like, yeah, I don't recommend people go on TikTok if you have an eating disorder, because unlike Instagram, it'll feed you, like, skinny videos or eating disorder videos, and it happened before you even have a chance to look away. And if you pause and you watch it for a second, then it'll get you to keep going.
It keeps feeding you all of
it. And now Instagram is the same. Obviously, the algorithm is a little bit different, but it's, yeah. I mean, I think if we're trying to talk about, I do agree, like, we need to know this. And I do think on some level, something about me being able to picture these people working for other people and getting paid to do it and bots does help me take a lot of this, like, less serious. Like, I am going to try to keep that in my mind. It's sort of similar to, you guys, if you haven't listened, we did an episode last year with Matthew Facciani, who is a misinformation researcher. And he talked about the concept of, like, pre-bunking is sort of like, if you think about these five things that are, you know, if they use phrases like secrecy or, you know, they're trying to create urgency, you're more likely to have misinformation come after that. So I'm sort of thinking of this as sort of pre-bunking, as if I can remember a lot of these accounts aren't, you know, because I don't know, when I would think about bots sometimes, especially if people, like, comment mean things on my videos or posts, I would be like, well, I can look at their profile and they look like a real person. And obviously sometimes that's true, but also sometimes they could have 1,000 accounts. I mean, I'm not, like, special enough to probably have bots hate me, but no one's, like, paying to take me down. But I don't know. The idea of that helps me, like, visualize it in a way that I can step back a little bit more.
Yeah. I think the word that is that was well not I think I know the word that was coming to my mind when you were talking was discernment.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big one of like taking time to understand like how you actually feel when you're consuming something and to just pause for a second and be like, does this actually fit my life? Does this fit who I want to be? Like, and I think that's what I realized with like the whole like feminine energy content that I was being fed when I was, you know, dating. The thing that I realized was I felt a lot of this pressure, like, oh my God, I have to find this guy that's like a full provider and he wants to care for me and take care of me. And this is coming, like, I'm a fairly like stable, like strong-willed individual who's very like, don't tell me what to do. Like, you know,
right.
That's me at like a baseline. So it was so bizarre to me that I found myself like still trying to find that. And then when I just found the guy that I found is amazing, guys, by the way. I am not trying to say that I like settled into something. Like I am very incredibly happy with the person that I found. But he's a, just a person. He's a man with his own life. And
like everyone.
Like everyone. He just, you know, and like this has really nothing to do with him. For me, this is more like my realization as I was getting to know him that I was like, oh no, I don't want to have my brain off. I don't want to be 25'8 in like a summery dress, like doing nothing.
What
like
is 25'8?
24/7, but longer.
Did not land.
Sorry, everyone. Like I don't want that because then what I was seeing was I was like, oh no, like we're just equals in this. We have conversations about things. He's paid for a lot of stuff. I've paid for a few things. Like, we get along. We laugh.
Oh, context like, matters. Yes.
Like, we both, we've both been, like, supportive of each other through different things as things have happened. Like, and I just was like, no, that's what I want. I don't want to be worried about, like, oh, I don't have to think when I'm with him. He shuts my brain off. Or, like, he just like meets my every need before I even tell him what it is. Like, that's just, it's weird. Yes. And so like, as I was finding this thing that was like rooted in reality, I was like, oh, I got played and I'm somebody that understands the system. And so I'm like, how many people are like walking away from things that are actually like really good? But it doesn't have, like, this one element that you've seen repeated over and over and over again that's something that you should have.
Or you end up with someone who isn't what you actually want.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like, because you're fixated on what it should be like based on social media or what it should feel like and things like that. Like, I am so against the idea of, like, instant connection and instant spark and instant fireworks. And I think so much of that really harms people in trying to find someone because, again, you're just two people. Like, no one should be able to make you – like, I mean, I'm sure some of you are like, this is the way it is with my partner and it's amazing. And
yeah, I fine.
Think that's amazing for you. But, like, for me, like – I don't know. I think there are different types of relationships. I think you can have a relationship that is super, super passionate and it comes with like more fighting but more intensity. Or I think you can have a relationship where you are probably more similar and it has less intensity on both sides, but it feels like really stable and good. And I think both are great. But that I think we sometimes forget that like stability also feels good and you have to think about who you want to be and how you want to feel.
Yes.
Because that intensity can't always like the honeymoon phase doesn't last forever. And you have to figure out how to build a relationship beyond that as well.
Right. And that's going to take effort and consistency. Yes. And it's going to take you realizing like what is really important to me and what isn't. Right. Like what are the things that maybe as you get into a relationship with someone, you realize like, oh, I actually don't care about that. Right? Like, I think even, like, the sports thing. Like, I think you get fed – there's this narrative that, like, no girl is ever going to want to watch sports. And, like, they all hate it. And guys all do this. And, like, what I so appreciated in this dynamic is like he wanted me included in that. Like he mm-hmm. like because he's interested in it, he wanted to talk about it and he wanted me to know yeah. about it. And he was like, no, like let's like I want to watch the game with you. Like let's watch the game together. And then it's fun. And so yeah. I think it's been like such a really powerful experience for me to realize like one, that I finally found somebody that makes me insanely happy, but then two, that so much of like the narrative and the stereotypes like aren't even true. Like, I think they can be exactly as you said, like in certain dynamics, but also it's like, what do you want? Like, if you don't care about something, you don't have to care about it simply because somebody else does. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to just have, like, the connection and the dynamic mm-hmm. that you want to have. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a big deal, or it doesn't have to be something that's anxiety provoking simply because it was for somebody else for their specific situation.
Well, the other thing I was thinking is, because I went on a little bit of a social media break last week because I was in a big book writing push. And whenever I'm like writing and I'm like deep in writing, I feel like I'm like scuba diving.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have to like stay really low and I can't like pop up out of yeah. it sort of too quickly, because it takes me like a few days to get down back into mm-hmm. it. I know this is a weird metaphor. No,
but I feel you.
So like one thing that I was super intentional about is like I cannot like pop in and out of Instagram during the day. Like I cannot have my like writing thoughts tampered with by someone saying something else. What, even if it's like adding to something I'm already writing, because I like don't have space. I know what this chapter is going to do. I don't have space to add in other people's thoughts mm-hmm. like and have it influence it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it was really like different to feel like I checked in the morning, I checked in at night, but I didn't do the pop in just like random during the day. And if I wanted to scroll, I would play Wordle, essentially, which was great. And it was a very different experience of like really staying rooted in what I was doing and what I was trying to say. And I do think this like quick scroll is really not good for us.
I really agree with that, because I post this to my stories, but I've been struggling with content creation. Mm-hmm. I think in general, even outside of it, as a side note, I've kind of popped out as well, because I've been focusing on my life, on like an yeah. element of my life that has become very yeah. important to me. And I realized I didn't want noise through that. And I think I mm-hmm. kind of had to like turn my like work brain off a little bit, or at least like put it on autopilot for a little bit.
Yeah.
To be able to like,
this is why I plan my content months in advance.
I know. I need to copy like, you. I need to,
because then I'm like, you know what? 3 months ago, Amanda, this is her problem. She's the one that came up
She's
with this.
She's the one that felt not stupid spicy over this one problem, and now you all get to deal with it 3 months later. I need to start doing that too. But I also, in general, with content, I've just kind of been wrestling with like, what is it that I want to say? Mm-hmm. Because I think that intentionality around it yeah. is what is missing from so much content. Mm-hmm. And I think specifically mm-hmm. people that are like thought-provoking content.
Yeah.
And I just never want to be feeding into the mess of it. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's a weird world mm-hmm. to straddle when you recognize like it is something that is so problematic in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But then it's like there are those of us that are just really good content creators that are just trying really hard to like give genuinely helpful advice or insight and help like normalize things. And so it's like, I don't know what the balance is. I don't know. As per usual.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I read an article in The Atlantic about someone who, he doesn't do the clip farming in the same way, but his whole thing is like clips are important and you need to be like, people aren't reading, so you got to start clipping everything and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, because I guess I didn't know this either. Like Andrew Tate got famous from going viral from paying these organizations, Jesus essentially, Christ. Like to clip his content. So he was kind of like, well, you know, his advice to people is like, well, you got to get on it. You got to do clips because otherwise people are going to watch Andrew Tate. And like, I get that theory, but I don't feel fully comfortable with it. Like, I'm not going to just be like, well, other people are going to give bad advice, so I'm going to give the most, you know, like, I pay attention to the hooks to try to like encourage, you know, to try to get some eyeballs on it. But I never try to make it where it's like a bad, mean, anxiety provoking hook. But it is just fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating the different approaches to it. And it's, yeah, I don't know. My hope, my best case scenario is just like all of this is unsustainable.
Yeah.
And something's got to give at some point. Something. Like people are like backlashing to AI. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. At some point, counterculture starts to become a thing too.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, and I think just like getting off and living your life. I think that's right. The only real way for you to actually know who you are and what matters to you is to go live your life and talk to humans and engage with them and be with people that you love and care about and do things. Go see things with your own two eyeballs that you look at in real life. That's the only way to know like who you are.
Even Sam, as I'm thinking about this, like dumb stuff like travel content, I feel like has ruined travel.
Yes.
Not just because people are standing all around taking tons of content, which is part of it, but it's also like when you see these perfect feeds of like, I just never felt as happy as I did in Paris or wherever. And then you go and you see it with your own eyes. You're like, oh, I'm still a person in a body.
Yep.
Like, my body is going to be hungry and tired and I'm going to still exist. And it is just fascinating how, I feel like even with travel, it like overhypes everything. And then real life is disappointing.
Yes. Yeah. Because
when it's just normal.
Right. And it's even like when I see like videos of like baking.
Yes.
Like what? Because what I bake? Nah.
And you're a great cook and baker, Sam.
Thank you.
You really are. But I can say that because I don't follow any baking accounts, so I have nothing.
Like, but it's not
in terms of my feed is normal.
Right. But the thing is, like, there's nothing aesthetic about what I'm doing. Right. Like, it's just I'm just doing it. And then I have a product at the end. Like, and these like pure, I think it's the curation of an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what,
which is so obvious, but I'm sitting here being like,
whoa, yes, the curation.
No shit.
Of an
but
ideal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but I think we don't, it's so automatic now with the swiping that like we don't pause to really think like, well, what the fuck am I watching? Mm-hmm. And it's just this constant curated ideal of like, it should be like this. And how can you make it like this? And, you know, or like, I'm already getting content. It's like, it's May. And there's creators that are like, outside it's May, but mentally I'm here. And it's videos of like October. And I'm like,
oh.
Or I saw another thing that was like, you know, freaking 200 sleeps till Christmas. I'm like, guys.
Oh my God.
Guys. Like,
I mean, good for you if you live for Christmas. Sometimes people who live for Christmas and Disney World, I'm just like, I wish I found as much joy out of anything as you did.
I truly,
I'm so envious of the people that love Christmas. And I just have, I don't know, if you love Christmas, I would love to interview you. I would love it. Because I don't, Christmas is great. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. But like, I don't know. You're still a body. You're still a human. You still bring all your shit into that day. We act like you magically are just removed of everything that you've ever. I don't know. I felt that about that on my wedding too. The way that I've never been the best day of my life. And it's like, yeah, but you're still going to be nervous and anxious, and someone's going to say something weird, and there's going to be smells, and there's going to be other things going on. Like, you're still a human.
The other thing is, Amanda is easily overstimulated. So notice how we're talking.
All of these
talking about things that are easily stimulating.
It's true.
She's like, why do you like
maybe
being?
That's why I don't.
Don't be around your loved ones. That's so overstimulating.
Everything has to do with sensations.
fuck joy because there's going to be a smell.
Sometimes, okay. Someone once came over to my house and their perfume was so bad, it like ruined my day.
Wasn't me, was it?
Oh. No, but someone came over to my house and the perfume was like stuck on the pillow and I had to put the pillow outside. I don't want to be this way. It's just like all my senses are just like the volume is too high.
Oh, Lord. But I mean, the overstimulation, I think, is like a perfect tie-in to like the onslaught of like social media and information and opinions and processing speed that we are expected to have now. Mm-hmm. And it's too much. And I think it it gets in the way if you let it, right, of living a life that feels actually authentic to what you want and the person that you want to be. And I like, I'm not saying I have it like perfectly figured out, but I was really like, I'm proud of myself through this experience that I've had dating the person that I'm with now, that like very early on, I decided to make a commitment of like, I really like this and I don't want anything to derail it other than like what him or I want. Like if at any point we were starting to realize like it actually didn't work between us or there was a, right, like then fine, like totally. But to not let any like outside noise or opinions from strangers impact something good that you're exploring and something that's working for you. And I think this could be true. This isn't even just dating. I think it's like this is for your career. This is for the school you want to go to, a job that you're looking for, family relationship. Like if you are going through something that feels monumental in terms of like impact, right? Or that it is going to shift and alter the way you live your life, it's fine to go and get some inspiration to a point. But there's also a moment where you have to lock in yourself and spend some time in front of the mirror and say, like, is this thing actually working for me? Not what's working for anybody else or what makes anybody else happy or what anybody else thinks, but for you to actually take the time to look at yourself and be like, am I happy? Am I okay? It doesn't matter if anybody else isn't. You're the one that has to live it and you're the one that has to deal with the natural consequences of the decision. So how does it make you feel? And you have to strip away the noise sometimes when you're in those seasons.
And I think you have to, you like it. It is vulnerable to rely on yourself and less people to make decisions. Mm-hmm. Like especially in today's day and age, where everyone can give you a decision. You know, you can ask the internet 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. Like it is vulnerable to commit to a decision and move forward, but it is the way to trust yourself too. Mm-hmm. Like the more we outsource how we think and feel and what decisions we should make to the internet, the less stable and rooted we're going to feel in our own life.
Right. As per usual, zero answers to any of the problems afflicting us or the world, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah. And we have a book club now on Substack. Yeah. If you want to join us, we're going to be reading Famesick by Lena Dunham. And we're going to chat about it on June 24th. If you want to join us over on Substack, we would love that. Nuanceneeded.substack.com.
Yep. And as per usual, anything you can do to rate, review, share, subscribe means the world to us. Any comments? We love those. We appreciate it.
We'll see you next week.